Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
What we'd like to do now is he's become a regular on the show, and I absolutely love the fact that he has. He is Jay Crawford from Channel 3, formerly of ESPN, and he's nice enough to join us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline, also preseason play-by-play voice for the Browns in the past as well. Jay, how are you, my friend?
Jeff, Andy, how are you guys?
Hi, Jay.
We're doing good. Hey, I'm going to throw a sports question at you just to start off before we get into news of the day and what's going on. There are rumors that Kirk Herbstreit and Fowler are going to move to Monday Night Football. We both worked with Herbstreit in Columbus. You worked with him at ESPN as well. What do you think of that rumor, and how do you think you'd do on Monday Night Football?
I think they'd kill it. I wondered why they didn't do that before the last carnation, actually, when they brought Tess over from the B-team game. I was like, well, if you're going to steal someone from the college side, why wouldn't you just take Fowler? And if you're going to take Fowler, why not make it seamless and bring Herbstreit over too? I mean, football's football. You know, Kirk knows the NFL game as well as the college game. He's a huge fan. He follows it closely. I think it'd be a great team.
Hey, I'm curious, what do you think the numbers are like, though, compared? Like, Saturday night college football did pretty good numbers on ABC compared to the numbers of I don't know what the numbers are for Monday Night Football on ESPN compared to those Saturday night ABC games. Could that be a reason why maybe they wanted to hold off on that?
Yeah, I mean, obviously you're robbing Peter to pay Paul if you take them off
right.
The college grind. And their brands are clearly college football. So it would be a little bit of a disruption on that side. But college football is really on autopilot. You know, those games are – they control a lot more on the college side what their broadcasts are going to look like. By that, I mean the teams. Monday Night Football has been handcuffed by the NFL going back about 15 years. It all stems back to when ESPN started the original series, Playmakers. The commissioner hated it. It was Tagliabue at the time. He hated the series. Even though it was a mythical league and they never mentioned the NFL, they were livid over the storylines of drug use and, you know, all of the crazy things that series put in there, which really, if you followed them closely, we've had very similar storylines in real life. So, I mean, that
sure.
Playmakers series, although I don't know if players leaving the locker room to score drugs at halftime in the parking lot, I don't know if that ever happened, but you know, some of the storylines were crazy, but the NFL was livid that ESPN put that on the air. They demanded they pull it. ESPN pushed back harder than the NFL wanted. Eventually, the NFL got its way, and ESPN killed it. It was very successful. It was a rating success and a critical success. Nice following. But really, if you can trace it back to that point, was when the NFL really started handcuffing the network with their schedules. You can go back and you can look over the last 12, 15 years, whatever this is, and take a look at the scheduling for Monday Night Football. compare that to the scheduling for Sunday Night Football, and it's a joke. So the NFL has done its own disservice to dilute the product. Monday Night Football used to be the cornerstone. Now it's Sunday night. And, you know, when the Monday night schedule comes out this year, you know, you'll take a look and you'll say, oh, wow, look at that Arizona and L.A. Chargers game. That's one that you're really going to get excited about. But yet every Sunday night, it's either the Cowboys or the Eagles or the Giants. You know, the NFC East, the teams with big followings and big ratings and big markets, always gets priorities. They even gave flex scheduling to Sunday Night Football. And, you know, Monday Night Football just gets the shaft every single year. So I don't know. I'm of the school that the broadcast team has very little to do with the overall number. It has way more to do with how appealing the matchup is. And the NFL has handcuffed ESPN with terrible matchups, and that's why the ratings have tanked.
Jay, that plays into something that Andy and I talked about yesterday and touched on it a bit today. Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk wrote something in a question and answer. It was a simple question. Do you expect football in September? And he went off and said, I don't expect high school or college, and I think the NFL can jump all over that and do a Friday night game, three games on Saturday, three games on Sunday, continue their normal Thursday and Monday night games. That's five straight nights of nationally televised NFL games. And as much as the football fan in me loves the idea, Jay, of that much on different nights, I don't know if you're not killing, as you just said, you know, the NFL killed the Monday night thing by putting bad games up there. Who's going to tune in to watch, you know, Jacksonville against Houston on a Friday night? You know, I wonder if it plays, if something like that were to ever come about for the upcoming season.
It's an interesting point. I'll tell you, I'm always fascinated because, I've thought that the NFL could reach a point of oversaturation with the, you know, now we have Thursday night football, Sunday night football, Sunday afternoon football, Monday night football. It's all about checkerboarding the schedule, trying to make as many available hours of NFL viewing as possible. And when you throw 10 games on between the 1 and the 4 o'clock time slot, those games are all, you know, two of them may be national in the 1 and the 4 hour, but the other 8 are regional, and you're kind of cannibalizing your number. So I know what the NFL is thinking. The NFL would, you know, love to own other days of the week, like they own Sunday. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't put it past the NFL. They would, if the NFL were a human, it would push over its mother to pick up a dollar. And it's incredible to me how bloodthirsty this organization is for money. I've never seen anything like it. All sports leagues are. You know, you've seen the NBA sell out to a China fan base, and now they're addicted to that China fan base. And even to the point where the league has been very socially conscious over the last decade, very socially conscious on a number of different fronts, and it completely put its head in a bag over the human rights violations in China with the whole China and Hong Kong thing, and I was dumbfounded by it. But now they're addicted to that market, and they would literally have to restructure their league entirely, contracts, everything, player salaries, because if they were ever to lose that China fan base. So these sports leagues are bloodthirsty for money, and they can't get enough, and they're trying everything they can to think of new ways to reach the maximum number of viewers. And if it means taking over Friday and Saturday, even in the short term for a year, like I said, they'd push their mother over for a dollar. So nothing surprises me with that league.
Speaking of the dollar, like that whole scenario to me, Jay, just seems really interesting. Jay Crawford joining us again. Seems really interesting because I can't see a year in college athletics without college football. I mean, all the other sports depend on college football to bring in revenue for the schools. And, you know, that NFL scenario of them playing on Thursday, Friday, three on Saturday, three on Sunday, one on Monday would be, you know, contingent on probably the college football game not being played in the fall. To me, that just seems devastating to college athletics if for some reason they can't get a college football season out in some way, shape, or form. Even if they start in November or January, it seems to me they'll do anything they possibly can to try to get the college football season underway and played next year. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I agree. But, Andy, help me on this. Jeff, maybe you know the answer. I don't know. Why would it be plausible that the NFL can play games but college football couldn't? I don't understand that.
The only thing, Jay, I can think of is that colleges don't think they're ready to put students back on campus. And can you put students on campus to play football but not to take economics? That's the only thought
I understand. I think I understand that thinking, but, you know, the vast majority of data that we have on the illness is that younger people tend to be able to handle the illness even when they contract the virus.
Yeah.
The virus, not that they're immune to it by any stretch, but the overwhelming data, and now we have a larger sample size every day, the vast majority of casualties are elderly, people with pre-existing conditions. And I just don't, you know, if it's not safe yet to put kids back on campus, someone needs to explain to me how it would be okay to fill stadiums with NFL fans.
Agreed.
What if you were playing in front of empty stadiums? That's the other thought there that, I mean, let's face it. I mean, I know we laugh about this. Jeff laughs every time I talk about it. But universities are in the business of educating first and academics second, where in the NFL,
yeah,
obviously,
sure they are.
It's the athletics. And, yeah. Just like at Bowling Green, right, my friend?
Too, Baskin. But I love what you're trying to say that with the greatest sincerity.
Sure do, huh?
I know Bowling Green's different. You went to the, you know, Harvard of Northwest Ohio, so I forgot about
the Harvard of the Mac. That's right.
I don't know, maybe that's the only other answer. They
at least have to pretend that they're concerned about the interest of their student athletes, where the NFL doesn't.
Right.
You know, they're paid professionals, and they know the risks, and if they're willing to take them. Look, I also think it's so premature. It's the first week of April, and we don't have a football game on the schedule. You know, now I'm not talking about, you know, mini camps and all of that that would have to happen, but it's the first week of April. You know, you've got 5 months. You got all of April, May, June, July, all of August before you would need to get into September and play games. 5 months? 5 months ago, the coronavirus wasn't a thing.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not going to pretend to be a scientist and say that this thing's going to, you know, no longer be a threat 5 months from now. I think it certainly will be. And it's probably going to change our life in the short term here, longer than most people think. But the notion that we have, you know, guys, the flu has still killed way more Americans this year than the coronavirus. You know, we don't put daily counts of flu deaths on TV. And I at the risk of blanketing an entire industry, because I don't want to do that, but I believe that, look, let's face it, guys, bad news sells. Bad news sells, always has. Ratings are always higher during breaking news and fluid crisis situations. People flock to their TVs, and I get that. But we also, as an industry, have a responsibility to juxtapose our coverage to give it some sort of context. Have you guys heard anybody give flu death numbers this year, this flu season in the United States? At last check, it was over 20,000. That was a few weeks ago. We're now over 10,000 deaths, and I know there are many more coming. And I'm not saying that this is going to be, you know, a flu. It's not. It's going to be more deadly than the flu. It already has been in terms of mortality rate. But we sometimes get caught up in these numbers and looking at these numbers. Originally, we heard that this could kill between 4 and 6 million Americans. Now that number's down to between 100 and 240,000. And yesterday at the president's news briefing, Dr. Fauci actually said that he's confident that the number will be under 100,000. So where are we? We went from 6 million dead in the U.S. to 4 million dead in the U.S. to a quarter of a million dead in the U.S. to under 100,000 dead in the U.S. Now, I think that's a testament to the fact that we've all done the proper social distancing and we've shut down our country like we've never done before. And that's what saved that number from being probably a healthy six-figure number or maybe even into seven figures. So we've done a great job when it comes to doing the things that the government has asked us to do. But at some point, I hope everyone realizes this, at some point, the business world has to open up or there won't be a business world. It's touching everything and everybody. And so at some point, there's got to be a decision made, human life versus the complete collapse of our economic system. And I don't know what that breaking point is. I don't know how you put a number of human bodies on that, but at some point, and this will be for history to record, not, you know, me pontificating here, but at some point, history will decide if we did the right thing. And I believe we have, but I also, you know, at what price does shutting down the country actually mount up to? And I don't mean Wall Street. I just mean, you know, Joe Sixpack, who worked down at the corner grocery store, but it's been closed for 3 weeks. And, you know, what about all the workers in the service industry that actually work on tips? Well, when they go to, sure, you know, get their unemployment, that's not factored in. And, you know, it's been 3 weeks since they've been to work, and they haven't seen any government relief yet, which is, you know, mired in more red tape than we've ever seen. Ever. So, you know, at some point, we're going to have to go back to work. And I just think it's really hard to say that 5 months from now, we're not going to have football. Hell, baseball's got a workable plan right now to open their season in Arizona, which I like. I think that plan is a good one. You know, get the games on television. At least they can generate a revenue stream that way. And you can salvage your season anyhow.
Jay, thank you very much. As always, we appreciate talking to you and love having you on in this time slot on Tuesdays, too. So, Jay, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We'll watch you on Channel 3 tonight at 5 and at noon, too. So you're doing double duty over there, right?
All right. I am. Guys, stay safe, all right?
Jay, thank you.
All right, Jay.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.